Gulliver's Travels, Voyage to Lilliput, by Jonathan Swift. Narration, Katie Haig. Chapter 1. Gulliver's Birth and Early Voyages. 200 years ago, a great deal of the world as we now know it was still undiscovered. There were yet very many islands, small and great, on which the eyes of white men had never looked, seas in which nothing bigger than an Indian canoe had ever sailed. A voyage in those days was not often a pleasant thing, for ships then were very buff-blowed and slow-sailing, and, for a long voyage, very ill-provided with food. There were no tinned meats 200 years ago, no luxuries for use even in the cabin. Sailors lived chiefly on salt junk, as hard as leather, on biscuit that was generally as much weevil as biscuit, and the water that they drank was evil-smelling and bad, when it had been long in the ship's casks. So when a man said goodbye to his friends and sailed away into the unknown, generally very many years passed before he came back, if ever he came back at all. For the dangers of the seas were then far greater than they are now, and if a ship was not wrecked some dark night on an unknown island or uncharted reef, there was always the probability of meeting a pirate vessel and of having to fight for life and liberty. Steam has nowadays nearly done away with pirates, except on the China coast and in a few other out-of-the-way places. But things were different long ago, before steamers were invented, and sailors then, when they came home, had many very surprising things to tell their friends, many astonishing adventures to speak of, among the strange peoples that they said they had met in far-off lands. One man, who saw more wonderful things than anyone else, was named Lemuel Gulliver, and I will try to tell you a little about one of his voyages. Gulliver was born in Nottinghamshire, and when he was only 14 years old, he was sent to Emmanuel College, Cambridge. There he remained till he was 17, but his father had not money enough to keep him any longer at the university. So, as was then the custom for those who meant to become doctors, he was bound apprentice to a surgeon in London, under whom he studied for 4 years. But all the time, as often as his father sent him money, he spent some of it in learning navigation, which means the art of finding your way across the sea, far from land. He had always had a great longing to travel, and he thought that a knowledge of navigation would be of use to him if he should happen to go on a voyage. After leaving London, he went to Germany, and there studied medicine for some years, with the view of being appointed surgeon of a ship. And by the help of his late master in London, such a post he did get on board the Swallow, on which vessel he made several voyages. But, tiring of this, he settled in London, and, having married, began practice as a doctor. He did not, however, make much money at that, and so for 6 years he again went to sea as a surgeon, sailing both to the East and the West Indies. Again, tiring of the sea, he once more settled on shore, this time at Wapping, because in that place there are always many sailors, and he hoped to make money by doctoring them. But this turned out badly, and on the 4th of May, 1699, he sailed from Bristol for the South Seas as surgeon of a ship named the Antelope. Chapter 2. Gulliver is wrecked on the coast of Lilliput. At first, everything went well, but after leaving the South Seas, when steering for the East Indies, the ship was driven by a great storm far to the south. The gale lasted so long that 12 of the crew died from the effects of the hard work and the bad food, and all the others were worn out and weak. On a sailing ship, when the weather is very heavy, all hands have to be constantly on deck, and there is little rest for the men. Perhaps a sail, one of the few that can still be carried in such a gale, may be blown to ribbons by the furious wind, and a new one has to be bent on. The night, perhaps, is dark. The tattered canvas is thrashing with a noise like thunder, the ship burying her decks under angry black seas every few minutes. The men's hands are numb with the cold and the wet, and the hard, dangerous work aloft. There is no chance of going below when their job is done, to turn in between warm, dry blankets in a snug berth. Possibly even those who belong to the watch...